It was the year 60. St. Paul was on his way to Rome in chains when the ship sank. Washed up on the shores of Malta, Paul spent 3 months on the island, leaving behind him a flourishing Christian community. Today, the people of Malta, very proud of their links with the Apostle to the Gentiles, are also very proud of their first Maltese saint. Blessed George Praker will be canonized by Pope Benedict on Sunday the 3rd of June in St. Peter's Square. I spoke to Monsignor Charles Scicluna, a canon lawyer in the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, but also the postulator for the cause of Don George, as he is known in Malta. Himself a Maltese, Monsignor Scicluna did not need any prompting to speak of his fellow countrymen.
It is a great honour and a privilege for me to be able to promote the cause of Blessed George Praker. We have a long history of 2,000 years of Christianity, and we owe our Christianity to the Apostle Paul, who was shipwrecked on the islands. I think that the contribution of Blessed George Praker, who was born in 1880 and died in 1962, so he is a sort of 20th century saint, and to be canonized after 45 years of his demise is also an interesting indication of providence, I would call it.
But it would suggest that sanctity was fairly conspicuous.
Yes, he was renowned for his holiness because he had a very radical approach to the gospel and to the gospel demands. And he felt this very strong call to be a teacher to his people. And one of the great things about his apostolate is that he gave Malta's religiosity a sort of teaching on which it could be based. He evangelized the almost natural religiosity of the people. And he founded a society of Christian doctrine, which is a group of lay people who lead celibate lives, work, have normal working hours, and in the evening dedicate, on a daily basis, dedicate their free time to the apostolate of catechesis. In every parish in Malta and Gozo, we have two centres, one for boys and one for girls, where these people, these members of the Society of Christian Doctrine, offer their ministry. And they have also now opened branches in Australia, Kenya, the Sudan, Peru, Albania, and there's also a centre in the Diocese of Southwark in England.
Evangelisation was the driving force of the life of the new saint.
He had this great dream of the gospel being taught in every place in the world. And one of the very interesting stories, which they say, is that after the first few meetings in 1907, one of the members called the place where they're meeting a museum. It was a bit old and full of lots of old precious things. And they said, this is a museum, really. And the name stuck, and it became the nickname of the Society of Christian Doctrine, Museum. Blessed George tried to get rid of it, to be honest, but he couldn't. And so he said, well, okay, we'll do something out of this. And he made up an acrostic in Latin, Magister, Utinam sequatur Evangelium Universus Mundus. The Lord, may the whole world follow the gospel. And that was Blessed George's dream, of course, a dream which Vatican Council II also confirmed in very beautiful documents like Lumen Gentium, Ad Gentes. There is a missionary spirit of the Vatican Council II, which Blessed George really envisaged and was quite a prophet of.
In fact, Blessed George was prophetic in more ways than one. He had conceived of the mysteries of light long before Pope John Paul II drew up and promulgated the luminous mysteries of the Rosary. Interestingly, they were virtually identical.
In 1957, 50 years ago, he suggested 5 mysteries of light for the Rosary. And they were, according to the manuscripts we have from 1957, the baptism in the Jordan, the first miracles, he said, although in one manuscript we found that he had first jotted down the miracle of Cana, but then changed it into a more generic, The third one was the preaching of the Beatitudes and invitation to conversion. The fourth was the Transfiguration, and the fifth, the Last Supper. So there is a great providential link to the initiative of the servant of God, John Paul II, in his very beautiful exhortation on the Rosary.
It was prophetic, in fact.
I think so. He never said where he got the idea, but we actually, and I saw them only recently, we found the original manuscripts of his attempts at fixing these five mysteries of light, as he called them, and he actually distributed a printed sheet with them and said, this is only for, obviously it was not approved by the church at that time, it was only for private use of his members.
During the canonization ceremony, there will be a strong Maltese influence to the liturgy.
We're going to have some prayers composed by Blessed George Breker just before the Mass of Canonization starts. He wrote like 135 books, not very long books, but very, very profound teachings and profound also meditations. So we've chosen, since it's going to be on Trinity Sunday, we've chosen a sort of two-page prayer he composed, which is called the Six Invocations to God. And they're going to be read in Maltese, English and Italian. And then we're going to sing a very beautiful stanza he wrote as a greeting to the Pope. And the Maltese know it and love it because they learned it then when John Paul II came to Malta in 1990 and 2001. And we're going to sing it to Benedict XVI as well. And there is also a beautiful hymn to the Trinity, which Blessed George composed in Latin. We're going to sing certain things he composed, and then we've composed a stanza in his honour. He didn't compose that, we did, following his style. So it's Salve Beate Georgi, then it would become Salve Sancte Georgi, of course. And that would be a thing that we will also sing at the Mass of Thanksgiving at St. Peter's on the Monday at 11 a.m.
And will you have a permanent memorial or something like that in Malta?
I think that the best permanent memorial, I hope, that will be permanent is the Society of Christian Doctrine. There are lots of initiatives, of course. We have the Chapel of the Miraculous Medal, which he wanted, and which, in fact, he laid the first stone of this church, where he is also buried. And it is the chapel of the Mother House of the Society of Christian Doctrine, which remains also a monument to his devotion to Our Lady, and also has his shrine. There are a number of initiatives like, you know, putting up monuments in his honour. I think it's only the beginning. But we all know that the best monument to Blessed George is to grow in our love for Jesus and the Church, and to continue his missionary apostolate, mm-hmm. that Jesus may be known by all men and women.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the canonization ceremony, there are relics taken up for veneration. What relics are going to be used?
The relic we have was taken by his doctor. His doctor, who knew that he was dealing with a saintly patient, a very patient as well, as he says, took some blood and kept it, without Blessed George knowing, of course. And he gave it to the Society of Christian Doctrine and also to the parish where Blessed George used to serve as a priest. And this is the relic. Relic is a bit of blood which his doctor, who's going to be present actually for the canonization, took. And so this is the relic which we are going to present for the canonization ceremony.
Is the doctor going to carry the relic?
No, it's the parish priest of the parish where Blessed George used to serve. But his family, the doctor's family, is going to be present. And of course, they are going to bring their own relic because, of course, the doctor also kept a sample for his own family to revere, and that's obviously quite unique.
Through their second founder in the faith, the people of Malta will surely feel themselves blessed.
Blessed George, in Maltese we call him Dun George, and everybody knows that Dun George is Blessed George Preka, really is, as John Paul II called him on the day of his beatification on the 9th of May 2001, our second father in faith after St. Paul, of course. After all, Blessed George used to say, I'm not the founder, I am a promoter of something St. Paul started, because he was inspired by a sentence in the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy, when he says, "Whatever you have heard from me, teach it to others, who will be able in the turn to teach it to other people."